Now, I want to start out, first of all, as we read this, we will look up baptism. Notice here is one place in the Bible that it actually states that we are saved by baptism. And you know, when you look out in the world today, the religious world, and many think it's not that important and so on, but we're going to study that out and other passages and see more about it. Another thing I want you to note, in this setting here, we find that there was a time period God had made the declaration, and it was a time period before the flood came. And so we're going to look at that. Another thing you might note in this is that Jesus, it come about after Jesus' resurrection, and we see that he is sitting at the right hand of God. That's where he's at now. And there's a purpose for that, why, what he's doing while he's there. And we might notice also that what happens when we obey the Lord. And so I want to I want you to keep in mind these four verses here, and we'll come and go back. First of all, let's go into the Old Testament. Let's go into Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, I want to read here just a little bit of it. Let's kind of look maybe the first seven verses of chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all that which they could, chose. All of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be as 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Note that. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we see, if we note here, and I want you to note that verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We think on those things, and we think about our day and time today. We think of it, and what do we see? We see evil is really growing in our world today. We see people being shot and killed. We see all kinds of bad things happening. And we see that it is happening all the time. And if what you need to read, of course, and see that he picked, let's skip over to chapter 7 now. And I'm not going to, I want you to, oh, let's just drop down to see that he let's drop down to about verse 11. It says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the mountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So we see the time here. Noah lived to be a long time. And at the same time, we see what happened. And here we, sometime you want to go home, read the whole chapter. We see that Noah has children. And let's skip on over to verse 21. It says, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in those nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things, fowl of the heavens, they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So if you go back and we see, this is the events. And of course, Peter is talking about that in 1 Peter, about things that happened. And one of the reasons, and I think we see it very easily there in verse 5 of chapter 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so Noah and his family was all that was saved from this flood. All right, let's come back into the New Testament now. And let's go to Hebrews. Let's start out, first of all, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. In chapter 9 and verse 24. Says, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the law true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, in our text, you know, it speaks there in verse 22 that Christ is at the right hand of God. Well, we see the reason that he's at the right hand of God in verse 24. He's entered the holy place made here with which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, we note that he is there for us. He died for our sins, and he went there. If we were to look at the Old Testament, we would see that The tabernacle was built, and they've offered sacrifices outside. And then when they go, the high priest would go all the way into the most holy place and take blood there and sprinkle it. Well, in Christianity, Christ is in the most holy place there, and he died and shed his blood for us that we can have forgiveness of sin if we're Christians, if we have been baptized and lived the Christian life. So we see that. All right, while you're in Hebrews, turn to the 11th chapter and verse 7. This is a chapter which deals with the faith of all of the older people in the old, under the law and so on. And it deals with those even before the law. Verse 7 is Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared the ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is of faith. Here we see then Noah, he had faith. Well, I know that you all know that here, and we know before we are baptized, one of the things that we must have believe that all that Jesus was Christ and that he done these things, and we must believe in his word and the things he has prepared for us. All right, then let's go back here now, and let's, one another thing I want you to put, look at our original. We see here that the fact that Jesus, being there, had great power. And how can we miss that when we look at what he said just before he entered heaven? In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus said that. Now listen to what he had been crucified. He was resurrected. He was ready to go back to heaven, to the most holy place. Look at verse 19, the instructions he gave. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here we see then, as he was going back to heaven, to that most holy place where he was going to reside, he gives the instructions to the apostles that they were to what? Go into all nations. In other words, it's for everybody. And what is it there? What does he say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then afterwards, then, you are to teach them how they are to live also. Well, Mark records the same thing. Turn to Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, look at verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It don't matter if you're white, black, or what color skin you've got, or what nation you come from. The gospel's for everybody. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Here now we have baptism mentioned, and we also have one thing that's mentioned before baptism. What is it? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So, before you're baptized, you must believe. It's required even for baptism. All right, let's turn to Romans. Let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. And let's just start with verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, we need to die to sin. We need to repent. That's repentance. Now notice what he says in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now there's two points here you need to get out of this verse. One is that we are baptized into Christ. Now I want to ask you the question, can you be saved out of Christ? No. How do you get in Christ? Baptized into Christ. All right, notice further. We're baptized into his death. Can you be saved without his death? No. Well, how do you get the benefit of his death? By being baptized into his death. Baptism here places us in Christ and gives us the account of his death. Let's read on here some more. This chapter, I usually read the middle of the chapter first. Let's go to verse 16 through 18 first. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God is thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You were the servants of sin, but when you obeyed, you become servants of righteousness. You changed your life. Now let's go back and read, beginning with verse 3 again. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. When we become this makes us a Christian, and we need a new life. It's a new life. We're not living in sin anymore. We live the new life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Think about that. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So what we see here, when we are believe and repenting, changing our life, we are like Christ died. He was put in a grave. He was resurrected, and he ascended. We can, the same likeness here he's talking about here, if we are Christian and baptized. All right. Now then, let's go to Galatians. In Galatians, I want to go probably chapter 3. I want to point out something in the chapter 3. First of all, I want you to verse 8. Says, and the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Here we see the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. You know, faith is required if we're going to be Christians and we're going to be baptized. Now let's skip on a little. Of course, he's dealing with the Old Testament here, and it's called the law. Now let's start over about verse 20. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scriptures hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Here we see faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, what are we talking about the law? If we're studying the Old Testament and looking at it, it's law. As it describes it here, it makes it sound, it's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But we're justified by faith, all right? But after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Well, that's what we seen back in the other reference, wasn't it? How do we get in Christ? We're baptized into Christ. And that's what he's saying here. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We see then again the necessity of baptism. Now then, there's some things that you can, just in the scriptures that we've read and all, I want to kind of point out some things. first of all, let's start and think about baptism. What is it? Well, there in Romans, let's look again at Romans. And I want you to notice something about it. In Romans, you're going to have to excuse me, my back's hurting. In Romans chapter 6, there's some things I want you to notice. It says there in chapter 6, "Know ye not so many of us as were baptized into Christ?" In verse 4 it says, "Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death." That I think that verse right there, verse 4, would take away the idea of being sprinkled. We're buried. Baptism is a burial. All right. And another thing I think we could say, who is going to be baptized into Christ? Just as we've seen in Galatians and here, it's by faith. So we must believe to be baptized and buried. But baptism is a burial. It's not a sprinkling and pouring, all right? Then the other thing we see in the scriptures that we've read, it's not for unbelievers. Unbelievers wouldn't be a subject for baptism. They'd have to hear the word, Romans 10, verse 17. They have to be willing to repent from their sins. And if they're not, they're not a subject for baptism. And of course, sprinkling or pouring, I think we could see, is not a thing that is even baptism. John chapter 3 and verse 23, I think we see it requires much water. And we see the case of in Acts chapter 8, verse 36-39, it's not a pouring. They had much water so they could do the baptism. And also we find that it is when we do that, it is called a birth. We are born again in a new, making us, and in Acts chapter 22, Paul talks about his, and he talks about it washing away his sins. We get when we're baptized, we have our sin, old sins forgiven, and we change our life and we go forward with that. There's a lot more we could say probably on that, but I'll stop there for the day. Let's go back and read that 1 Peter and think about that. It's really as important as you notice things. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. "Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah," I waited for him to build the ark, "while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. All the rest of them died." And not only them, but even the animals. As we read back in chapter 6 and 7. Read them when you go home. Chapter 6 and 7 of Galatians. Here, Genesis, and here we see in verse 21, "The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us." You know, people say baptism don't have any part in your salvation, but he does. He does save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authority and power being made subject unto him. And what we see then, I want to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 for a moment. In 2 Peter chapter 3, let's begin in verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's going to be another time when this earth and all is going to be destroyed, and all are going to stand before God in judgment someday. Are you prepared? If not, why not prepare today? And we stand, we'd ask that you come. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you're willing to change your life and repent and be a Christian and live the life that Christ wants us to live and be baptized, we're here to help you do that.